Blog Talk Radio.
Listeners out there, it is May 20th, and today in this area was very beautiful outside. It's just starting to get a little bit cool out. I know we're supposed to get some rain, but so far it was nice today. Tonight, you guys, we're going to talk about hip-hop in our generation, okay? I have my guest tonight is Ten Swafford. I've had him on the show before, and we're going to discuss how is hip-hop impacting our generation. Is it a positive thing or is it a negative thing? So let's get started. First of all, I'm hoping you guys have had a great week. I know you guys are ready for Memorial Day holiday, which is coming up, and get those barbecue pits out. Families together, everybody getting together and enjoying themselves. Hopefully you guys, wherever you're at, your weather is going to be great for that day. I'm hoping here it'll be great, but I'll be in South Carolina, so it wouldn't matter. It doesn't matter to me how the weather is. Okay, let's get started. Mr. Swafford, how are you tonight?
Doing very good, very good.
Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about how do your opinion of how hip hop is your opinion of how hip hop is actually affecting our generation. Do you think it's a positive thing or do you think it's a negative thing?
I think in the beginning it was positive, but because certain types of people found out that it was very lucrative, and the youth who are the number one consumers, since they found out that they were the ones that they could target and market it to, I think it's become more about money than anything else. So now it's a bad thing. But in the beginning, it was pretty good. But now hip-hop is in a pretty bad off state.
Okay. And what facts do you have to make that type of statement?
I mean, you could just look at what's on TV. Turn on 106 and park and see what they promote. See which video is number one.
Okay.
Any given day. And you'll see the basic message of what they're trying to convey into the most popular video on BET. Since 106 and park is a countdown, it's all charted. So the people that actually call in for that one video. And everybody does it because it's number one. So see what everybody's up to. What's the number one video on BET? And that'll tell you a lot about the state that we're in.
Okay. In that sense, do you know what the number one video is right now?
I've actually removed MTV and BET from my viewing schedule. I don't watch either one of them. But on the off occasions that I do actually go past them and I see them, there's every now and then it looks like a glimmer of hope, but then Puffy and Rick Ross come out, and there goes everything else. So,
okay. So, in your opinion, the media, do you think the media pushes a lot of this also? Do you have that impression that the media has a lot to do with this also?
I think the media is just playing their part into making sure that whatever ordeal that the rapper's going through or whatever thing they're promoting, that it gets seen and heard and read about. They make sure that happens. So.
Okay. So what I've noticed a lot, too, in the hip-hop world, that a lot of people go to jail, and when they come out of jail, they're more famous than when they went in.
True.
And what do you think that comes from? What do you think that concept comes from?
I think if you... Like they say, once you get to that higher money-making market range, once you get up there to that part, then you become a target where you're either going to do what they ask you to do or they're going to make you do what they ask you to do.
Also, with that same point, I've noticed that a lot of rappers are going to jail, and you have some of them that are getting off. They're not even serving the time. So,
well, I mean, when you're at ex-con with a table full of guns and you get 6 months in a club fed, I mean, you know, hey, what is the general public supposed to think? You know, the average guy out there on the streets, the average gangbanger, so to speak, on the streets can't go with a table full of guns and become an ex-con and get off in 6 months. It's not feasible. There's something more to that story. But it's really up to the consumer, the listeners, the audience to judge for themselves what their favorite rapper is up to.
Okay. Now, and I know you're not a parent at this time, but you, if you were a parent, a lot of the music that is out there now, would you allow your children to listen to it?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. You can't shield them from it, of course, as it was when I was a kid and we had our sound gardens and our the Insane Clown Posse. We had that, people that were just out for attention,
mm-hmm.
really didn't have a message, but that's what they're on now, just out for attention, no message.
Okay, so you're saying a lot of the music, it doesn't have a message to it?
No.
You think people are more into the music itself or the lyrics? What are you thinking about the lyrics?
There isn't. There are no lyrics. It's just a bunch of instructions on how to destroy yourself,
okay.
how to destroy your body, destroy your mind, destroy your community. They're teaching you step by step on what to do. And the women, mainly it's, the women is the target audience, I noticed, because if a rapper comes out and he has a attractive, muscular build, you know, a lot of shirts off moments, a lot of videos with a lot of females. You know, the girls are going to dig it. And then right after the girls start digging it, then the guys start liking it because the girls like it, because everybody likes what the girls like, because everybody wants to get the girl at the end of the day. So that's pretty much what that sums up to be. And then with it being the teenagers, now you're influencing the future. You're not just influencing the people that already have somewhat developed common sense, which they really don't. You're influencing the future. So I think that's it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Okay. Now I have a question I'm going to ask you. Do you find yourself being a little bit hypocritical when it comes to some of the lyrics that are out there? Like the cursing and using the N-word, do you find yourself in a type of, like, hypocritical position?
No, not at all. Because words like nigger or the N-word, as they would like to say, the M-bomb, they only have as much impact as you give them. So if you are deeply offended by one word out of the whole entire English language, it shouldn't be nigger. It shouldn't be. It should be, there's like a list of 1,057 million words that should offend you, but you hear them every day and nobody says anything. So, I mean,
for instance,
I mean, there's a whole bunch of for instances. I mean, pick one.
Okay.
If they tell it to us. It's not even about the words. It's what they're telling you to do with your life. And that's what people are listening to. People are looking up at these rappers like they are some type of superhero of some sorts or some type of savior or some type of representation of who they are on the inside, which it's really not. It's just their rapper's image. And it's really all it is, just an image. It's not anything legit.
Okay, so at your point in your life and dealing with that industry, where do you see yourself? Where do you fit in this group of rappers or hip hop artists. Where do you think you fit in?
I don't, which is probably why I'm not as more popular as my music, you know, should be. But I won't curtail my message of telling people that, you know, you don't have to listen to this type of music because that's what they want you to do. They want you to, you know, sell drugs, destroy your community. They want you with all the little girls to be popping and bopping. They want you to do all that so you can fit that mold of what they really want to call you, which is not really a nigger. They really want to call you dollar sign, or they really want to call you a fan of sorts. Mm-hmm. Or you got Plies. He calls all his fans goons, which is a derogatory comment in itself. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be a nigger than to be a goon, because that really doesn't make any sense. Who wants to be somebody's goon? But, you know, people rock with it, so, you know, it's general consensus. It's whatever. People are confused. It's what it is.
Okay. So, you feel that, say, some of the old rappers and the old hip-hop, do you think that they had a better of, like, a positive impact opposed to what we're listening to now?
I think that because the market wasn't as big as it is now, I believe they had more truth in what they were saying.
Okay.
Doesn't stop it from saying that the same thing was going on back then, because
yeah.
The thing, I mean, it's been going on since the inception of all music. People should really do their research. You know, it's awfully odd that a white guy actually founded Def Jam, which is one of the world's leading hip-hop sorts. I mean, a white guy founded Def Jam, not to say the music isn't universal, but this is the record label home of such artists as your Rick Rosses, your Young Jeezy. These are the people that are the first, they broke the mold in the type of deals you can get, where they were signing people with two different record labels, one artist with two different record labels, which basically summed up to be that one artist was worth money to both of them. And whatever message that artist was spreading was a very lucrative one. It had a lot of monetary backing behind it, so they put up a lot of money behind him. So, I mean, if people did half the homework that they put into listening to all the words and learning every song, if they actually did the homework as to looking into the background of how all that came to be, they probably wouldn't do it anyway. That's where I think we're losing hope at, because people just aren't bothering to look. They don't even care anymore. So it's not like, you know, we had Dos Effects or Public Enemy or anything like that. We don't have that anymore. We don't have that at all. And that's when hip-hop officially died, once people stopped realizing that it was an art form instead of a damn ATM.
Okay. Now, let's talk about the roles female play in the hip-hop game, as far as the people they use in the videos, the women that they use in the videos, opposed to the female rappers or, yeah, hip-hop artists. What role do you think they play in this
game?
Yeah, game.
That's what it is. Well, the females are the driving marketing. Those are the ones that we want to market to. Even I find myself doing it, but I do it for a totally different cause. But the females is the key demographic, because whatever the girls is on, that's what everybody else is going to be on. Because like I said, at the end of the day, all the dudes want to end up with the girl, period. That's it. And you got female rappers, and you got the things that they're telling. I mean, to be a rapper in general, you already are wielding a lot of power, you know, over your words, and whatever you say is a very, very, very important thing, a representation of who your inner person is. And when you have people looking up to you, and the best thing you could do is come up with a lollipop, or, you know, how low can you go? That's the best you could come. That's your latest hit. How low can you go? Or my chick's bad. You know what I mean? It's the connotations. They switch everything on us. Then when Michael Jackson came out, bad was good and good was corny. But now that bad is, you know, into our psyche as something good, it's easy to say that, yeah, I want a bad chick, which is not really what you want anyway. But, you know, you got your Nicki Minaj's who, I mean, well, based on fake people, basically. So, I mean, how do you want to base your whole character off of an official character, you know? And your name's not even real. So, I mean, what are you going to do then? Can't win. There's no more freedom left.
Okay. Now, if there was an opportunity for you to be able to collaborate with some of these hip-hop rappers that you're speaking of, would you do that to get your name out there, or would you continue to do your small stuff, or, you know what I'm saying, you deal with it on a smaller level opposed to the big level?
I mean, to be an advocate for honesty, I think my conviction wouldn't let me do it. Regardless of the money, regardless of all of that, no matter how talented I am, I'll never use my powers for evil. Exactly.
Okay. Now, let's talk about mixtape. What is this deal? I hear mixtapes all the time. What is the deal with mixtapes? What is that?
Mixtapes, they're something to keep the streets buzzing with your name in between albums, for the most part. Good advertising tool. You have all your mixtape DJs. They always have a job, you know. And when it's really just like a litmus test to see if the public still responds to you, just in case you want to drop an album, and everybody's been waiting on it. Some people saturate the streets with their mixtapes, and that's the only thing you hear is this mixtape this, mixtape that. So, I mean, it's just a good selling point. You don't have to really, there's no legally binding, that's why they want to shut down mixtapes. There's nothing legal about mixtapes, but yet there's nothing illegal about mixtapes. So, I mean, they want to shut it down because you can actually use other people's beats on these mixtapes, but because you're not doing it for a profit, you're actually probably just doing it for exercise. I do a lot of exercising in my mind, freestyling and stuff like that, so, you know, use other people's beats, but somehow it ends up in the people's hands that always end up getting the money. So, you know, exchange the money for the CD and you got yourself an illegal transaction. Apparently that's what they say, but I don't know.
Okay. All right. Now, you have a web page on MySpace, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And what's the name of your website?
It's www.myspace.com/MIGHTYBCR.
Okay.
And that's the Mighty Black City Republic. Wish I could tell you the whole story about how I came across that name, but...
You have time. You can.
Originally, the idea behind Black City is right during a time when black people weren't supposed to have anything of their own. Shortly after slavery, during a very racist time in America, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in Greenwood, there's this place where the black people were the community. They had offices and doctors, they had their own everything, their own teachers, their own shops, their own everything. And they end up having to come into town, into Tulsa, to actually, one of them had to do some business of some sort inside of the courthouse. Long story short, he was on the elevator, and a white girl was on the elevator with him, and some type of accident. I think the elevator jilted or tilted or something, and she ended up falling. And all the people upstairs heard was her screaming. And when the doors opened, it was a white woman and a black man, and she had just screamed. And he was helping her up or, you know, doing something. He was helping her more than anything else. But basically that started a whole bad chain of events where they incarcerated that young black man. And the people from the community he was from, that Greenwood community, came up there to get their fellow citizen. That's what we were missing, period, in our society these days amongst the black people. We're not willing to look out for the next man because we're too busy getting money and putting rims on our Yukons that aren't paid for yet, and gas-guzzling vehicles that we just use every once in a while to pull up the clubs in so we could leave with the baddest chick. That's how it all perpetuates itself. But long story short, the white people came into Greenwood. Well, the black people came into Tulsa, and they were packing their guns. They were ready to go to war with these white people that didn't want to let the black man go. Well, it really did jump off like that, and there was a lot of shooting going on. They took out quite a bit of the people that were holding them, and it happened right in front of the courthouse. Now, in retaliation to that, the white people, in their grand design of things, they go into Greenwood and burn down the whole entire city. So the original Black City Republic, which was Greenwood, Oklahoma, was burnt down by white people. There was people slaughtered. It was a horrible, horrible thing. But this mighty BCR, this Black City Republic, is more of an idea, and you can't destroy an idea. You can't. It's impossible. And I carry the same strength that they carried with them to be ingenuitive and come up with their own ways modes and different things to get things done the way they wanted them done. So that's what we're on. We're all about looking out for each other.
Now, okay, I allowed you to keep talking because I was doing something else. I'm glad you did that because it did get me away from that. Okay, Mr. Tin, so tell me what is going on with you now as far as your career goes. What is going on with your career right now?
I pretty much quit rapping. I don't rap anymore. I'm pretty much done with music. I'm just probably gonna give me a cushy office job or something. I got a nice resume, and I just lost my job at the Dollar General, so, you know, I'll probably give me a cushy desk job, because it's not for them. I'm lying. I have 3 mixtapes dropping. I have Songs About Girls 2, the Priceless Edition, coming out. I have Renegade Radio, which is my new joint venture with Heartless Entertainment, and it's called Renegade Radio, 110.10 FM, banging all the live stuff you've never heard. There's a lot going on. We're planning on taking over a local club and, you know, having that be our home base for, you know, the shows to be open for everyone to come to on a regular basis, not just every once in a while. We're going to be regulars there, performance-wise. But they can definitely check out. I'm putting up new music every day. I expect to go record tomorrow. Every day is a new day, and I try to keep that positive attitude about me so I never end up quitting or giving up or giving in. That the positive energy keeps me from giving in to, you know, start talking about rims. And I can't do it. I've tried rapping about that. I can't. It's not in me. So, you know. I guess I'm awake and everybody else is asleep, or I'm asleep and everybody else is awake, but I got to get to everybody else.
Okay. I'm going to play a little bit of Marvin Gaye, and then I'm going to come back, okay?
That's fine about me. Marvin Gaye is great music.
That's real music.
Real music. Artistry. That's what I'm saying. That's what it's missing. We don't have that anymore. No more artistry. Everything is a looped track and a bunch of Waka Flocka flamingness. Wherever they do that at.
Right, hold on, man.
All right. A little bit of Marvin Gaye going on there. Well, we're back. This is Chocolate Lady 64, Blog Talk Radio. And we were here talking with Tin Swofford and his opinion about hip-hop. And how he feels how it's affecting our generation, and how everything kind of ties in together. And if we could just open up our eyes and pay attention to how we're allowing our children to do certain things, and if we be there and watch what our children are doing and listening to, we're not going to catch everything, as he was saying, but a lot of stuff we can catch if we get off our butts and pay attention to it.
A lot of it is really blatant.
Yeah, a lot of it,
a lot of it is really in your face.
Yeah.
And for a parent to not see that coming, or at least not pay attention, you know what really trips me out? The fact that the parents like the song.
Yeah. Well, it's the beat. And I will tell you this. This is from my opinion and how I feel about it. A lot of music, because I love music itself, the rhythm of music, the lyrics don't bother me as much. I mean, they should bother me, but I don't pay attention to a lot of the lyrics. I like the music, and they'll take good, clean music, and they'll destroy it with some of the lyrics that they say.
It's mind-numbing.
Okay.
It's, you know, but it's a lot of ad-libs, a lot of nothing. It's really just songs filled with a bunch of nothing, which actually you end up learning the words to them because they're so simple and you like the song anyway. You might as well, you know, you hear it so much, of course you're going to start learning the words. Subconscious is what it is. And they're attacking your psyche itself. They're attacking your spirit, because a lot of that stuff gets into your spirit and you don't even know it. That's what they want. They want it to be attached to your soul, because believe it or not, the devil is real, and Jesus is real, but the devil is hard at work. What they say in the Bible, seeking to see who he can devour,
mm-hmm.
and they'll do whatever they have to take your soul away from you, to take your attention away from God. Not to say that all my music is about. Well, yeah, I could say some. Most of it is, because it's stuff you actually have to listen to. The words are there. The content is there. It's not just mindless, mind-numbing, that type of stuff.
Okay, since you've said that, you spoke of your music, I'm going to attempt to put on one of your songs.
Not hard to do. Mighty BCR with the myspace.com/...
Okay, the one I'm getting ready to play for the audience, or my listeners, that is the one called Spaceship.
Right. That's a real good one. I'll break that down for you in just a second. I mean, if it need be. I think it's
right back to where I'm from, A-Town. I'ma make get a chance. Begging like I'm destined to be on the face of a stamp. Breaking random bushes like I came out of lamb. Shouted picture tip, but I ain't playing in a cam. Just thought I'd touch base to let you know who I am. Jealous and hello, jelly, jelly for free, cause I jam.
Yeah.
Okay, that was Spaceship by 10, Planet 10, VCR. Now, with this new album that's coming out, or you've already worked on getting it rolling, I mean, you got them, you got your publicity, you got whatever you need to get it started, I mean, to move it.
Yeah, I have an incredible Cruddle Street team. Heartless CNT, they've really done their best to make sure that I get the exposure necessary, that my talent doesn't just end up, you know, either getting, you know, persuaded to the dark side or, you know, just getting lost in the mix of people that were real. So they kind of put me on Front Street. I'm in Atlanta right now. My CD, my old CD, actually, part one of Songs About Girls, is actually still a pretty hot topic in that area. But it's really going to be good when they get a whiff of Songs About Girls, part two. Mind you, that song is not going to be on that album. It's going to be another mixtape before that album that song is going to be on. So, you know, it's a lot. I got a lot in store for the future. I really want people to really catch a bit of my character, to see how I really do business. But there was a line in that song where I was talking about get on my Plies-ish and forget my education, because he's a very educated person, this Plies character is. And I call him a character because it's just a facade. But forget my education, sell my soul to the industry because I'm broke and impatient. And that's really what happens. They catch him at their vulnerable moments. And they get them to pledge their allegiance to this record label, and they have to rap and do and say as the rap record label says. So, you know, if that's what they're waiting for, then they'll just have to keep on waiting, because we're not doing it over here.
So you're saying you're not giving in?
Can't give in. I've worked too hard. I've advocated too many causes to the point where to wake people up against the music that's really trying to destroy us as a people, I would never give in. I'd be... Yeah.
Okay. So if I call you back to interview you in 5 years, you'll still be right where you're at?
Hey, I love making my music. That's more than anything else. I think that's what a lot of them forgot, or a lot of them never really had a love. They were just marketable. But I love making my music. And I don't really care if I go nationwide. I don't care if my music never leaves my headphones. I just enjoy doing it because I can do something that nobody else can. I can put me on a track, and I can really expose myself through the music. So as opposed to, you know, doing something where I could sell, where I'm writing rims, I got big chains and all these girls and something, something, et cetera. You fill in the blanks. It's pretty much the same stuff every time anyway.
Okay. So you find yourself an elite person. You're above the rest of them. You don't have that same mentality as the so-called rappers that are out there today. Is that what you're saying?
I think that a lot of rappers are very intelligent. I think they dumb their stuff down just so they could put it in this bottle so they could sell it to America.
Okay. Not only America, they sell it.
Oh, it's worldwide. Right. And please believe, whenever Jay-Z shows up to London or whenever Jeezy shows up to Japan, the place is packed. It's full on.
So you're saying... So what you're saying is hip-hop altogether has an impact not only on our generation, but on the world.
It's a global impact.
It's a global money making.
Exactly.
I mean,
I think right next to, let's say for instance, there were people behind the curtains of all the power moves in the world. We'll just call them the Illuminati. For instance, we're not going to say that it's real or it's fake. We're just going to say, for instance.
So what is Illuminati?
We're not even going to name what they are. We'll say that they're some of the wealthiest people in the world. They run a lot of stuff that people aren't really putting the math together. There's oil companies. They all have people that are at the head of these oil companies. But there's always somebody making money off the people at the head of the companies.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're talking about those people, the people at the tippy top, where, you know, they have control over the most of the world's wealth. You know, and say they had, like, an ulterior motive where, let's see, who are the most threatening people to us that could actually, if they put all their power together, they could probably end up doing us a lot of damage. Well, let's see, you got the white people, but they like the white people. They don't have any problems with them. They promote them to different places, and they get them on in all kind of places in the South with great jobs and great positions. They're your governors. They're your congressmen. So we're not going to bother them. Let's see, who's next? You have your black people. Well, they're filling up our prisons. They're keeping everything going as far as, you know, the school-to-prison ratio. They're making sure that the prisons never outdo the schools.
Exactly.
That would be my target demographic. Plus, they all sell drugs anyway, so they always have the money to see whoever their favorite rapper is. Imagine that, if you will. And, you know, for every 10 black guys you see, one of them raps.
Yeah.
So when everybody gets a contract, they're not losing anything by giving these guys $250,000 advances, because really when you sign a contract with a company, you actually owe that money back, because that contract is actually the company lending its services to you as an artist. And that's where people get confused. They're always looking for the contract, the deal. They want to get the ink, the deal thing, and you can't, because you actually will end up in debt as soon as you kind of sign a contract. But just imagine, if you will, it's these type of people. Well, they're the ones I want to market to. They're the most vulnerable. I've been setting it up for years where their education system will be lacking behind everybody else in the whole, and everybody else in the world. Where you could come down here or go over there into any black community and see run-down public school systems where the school board administrators would rather promote his homeboy and forget about everybody else. They're not really there about a school issue. It's more or less, we're bringing attention to it now because it needs to be brought attention to. But just imagine, if you will, it was people that thought like that, that were money hungry, vicious vipers, snakes, reptile people that had no soul and no heart. They were driven by the dollar, believing that because they possess all the money, they have all the power. And they're using us as a tool to get more money and to kill us off, because all the rap music does is promote violence, selling drugs. You know, it doesn't really promote physical well-being. It doesn't promote spirituality. It does none of that. Actually, it does the total opposite. So, I mean, it's all how you look at it. If you got that type of demographic audience, you'd be surprised what they wouldn't do for that money.
All right.
Puff Daddy's gay, huh?
I'm gonna act like we didn't hear that. Okay?
You can act all you want to. The truth of the matter is, it's a large amount, and I'm not the first one, and I won't be the last. There's a large amount of undercover homosexuality going on in the rap game, and people aren't even paying attention. They don't care.
Well, if you got to understand, the flashy cars, the flashy money, all of that, and the sexy girls with the long hair and the big booties.
They don't even like them.
Well,
Rick Ross got on the track. If anybody cares to look this up, Rick Ross had an album before this album, the one 2010, whatever albums he's dropping this year, a mixtape. It was one last year called Trilla, right? On Trilla, he was doing this intro to this song that he was about to do, and he was getting all amped up behind the microphone. And I quote, Rick Ross says, "I got my skinny jeans on. No underwear. What up, Jay-Z? And anybody else in the streets, let somebody say that about me, or don't even say it about me, but just say it and put my name in it. I got my skinny jeans on, no underwear. What up, 10? Like that, no, don't put my name behind that. But he got a pass because they all work in the same. He could have said, what up, P. Diddy? You know what I'm saying? And if you realize it, if you look at it, they all work very closely together. Because Puffy knows Jay-Z. Jay-Z knows Rick Ross. Rick Ross knows Puffy. I mean, it's all a small circle, and it spirals out by their connections. But, I mean, you'll see.
So you're saying for us to pay more attention to what we're watching, and
people should have
not
been
only just
attention.
In not only just in the videos in the hip hop world, period, right?
But we need to start watching. The world is slowly winding down, and people aren't even seeing that. They're so in the moment now that, you know, CNN's got them trapped by some miscellaneous story that doesn't, some drivel, basically. They have them, that's what the top news is, and it's a bunch of nothing. They're not talking about how.
So how does this connect with hip-hop? How does all of this connect with hip-hop? Because we kind of got off the subject.
No, we're all connected. We're all interconnected.
Okay.
It's all about my spirituality, your spirituality being different from mine, but it's all the same, you know, it's all coming from the same point of your body, from the same point of your soul, where you love whatever spiritual path you choose to follow. And that's what I'm saying. Hip-hop has embedded itself into our spirituality.
And that's why we have to listen to it. We have to bang it.
We have to turn it all the way up.
Yeah.
We have to. Because who cares about the words?
Yeah.
It's got a nice beat.
Yeah. That's what I just said. That's why I like to listen to it, because I like the beat of some of the music.
That's what I'm saying. These people are geniuses. I mean, these are some of the most evilest people with the most ill contempt for black people, or just want to throw money. Like, say they want to throw money at an artist, a female artist. You know, what won't you do for $50,000 up front right then and there?
Yeah.
What won't you do? She'll degrade herself easy, and she'll do it on camera. So they could use that as a training video for other people, for other young girls to initiate themselves with the path that she just chose.
Okay, I think in mind when you're saying that, I'm thinking about Lady Gaga. I mean, I know she's not in hip hop, but I noticed that she's intermingled herself.
Yeah.
In that she came out of nowhere. No one knew where she came from. I mean,
well,
she just
the truth
up.
Of the matter is
she's probably always been there.
The funny part of what you're saying is goes back. Well, we're saying the same thing. Lady Gaga was actually signed to Def Jam at first.
Okay.
And I believe it was Def Jam. Yes, it was Def Jam. And she got released from her contract. Then Akon with Convict Music, which is another point I would like to point out. The guy named Akon, singing and rapping, and he raps for this record label called Convict Music. And it shows, I mean, whenever the songs come on, you can hear the jail doors slamming. And he'll say, Convict. Well, what are you saying? What are you alluding to? Why would you name your music Convict Music? What is that about? But anyway, he discovers her, gets her over to Jimmy Iovine at Interscope, and now she's kicking it with Dr. Dre. She's kicking it with all these people. Got a huge deal out of this. Huge, big, stupid deal.
Yeah.
And now she's on the YouTube talking about, I know how I want to die. I want to die drunk on stage in front of all my fans. And it was a moment of clarity because you could hear the fans in the background. They were clapping. They were applauding the fact that she wanted to die in front of them. And I think a lot of them get in and they don't know how to get out. And I think that's what it is. So once you're in, you might as well, you know, you might as well play the part. Because you're not getting out. Ask Michael.
Okay. So so you're saying this is bigger than me and you? This is bigger than the average person? This is bigger than the average radio station, radio company? Record company. This is on a bigger scale.
This is for your soul, people. Are y'all listening?
So
they
you're
want
saying
your
the
soul.
The music that is played.
You ever notice that there is no more soul music? They totally took that category away.
They sure did.
There's no more soul music.
Everything is
R&B.
That's what they send it to. sure is.
There's no more soul music. So they've taken the soul out of the music. So now what's left to take your soul? So that's what they want. They want you to follow them. Follow them. Follow me. Sell this brick. Sell this key of cocaine. Sell this. You know, beat somebody up because they looked at you stupid. Pull out your gun at a stoplight. You know, leave your heater on your lap. And dress in the Air Force Ones with the Louis Vuitton stripes on them. Go buy a whole bunch of miscellaneous stuff that means nothing. Go purchase it all so you can be eternally in debt. You know, or, you know, so you can have a reason to go chase this money. I got to go get this money. You know, that's a reoccurring theme in hip-hop, too. But they really want your soul. They want you to destroy yourself so they don't have to do it. Be the one less, you know, nigga they got to kill. Excuse my language.
Okay. So even these intelligent, highly educated young men who really are doing something with their lives, they are going somewhere, they are accomplishing a lot of stuff, you're saying that they're under the spell also when they listen to the music?
We're all under the spell.
Okay.
We're all under the spell. And it's unfortunate. It's very, very unfortunate. It's unfortunate that they're under the spell because that, you know, I was watching another one of those YouTube videos. They said that they used to, in the recording room, when they master an album, which is, you know, you got to check out the phraseology that they use, but when you master an album, you come up with the master. It's this giant reel-to-reel tape. They take it to this room hidden off in the executive branch. They put the master wheel, the tape, on an altar, and they conjure up spirits to go into the master, so when they make copies that the spirit.
So how do you know all this stuff is true? How do you know that it's actually happening?
Because
what is it based off of? Somebody making their assumptions of it? Because you know what they say about assumptions.
If you look into any religion, they always had something that they prayed to.
Okay.
It's always something that they prayed for, and there's always something that they prayed with. The Catholic people use the prayer beads. They have the rosary.
Okay.
Right? Christians have the crucifix. We promote the crucifix, but people aren't really in the know about what that really is either. And then you have pagans, you know, they come up with Christmas and Halloween. They get us to celebrate these miscellaneous holidays. Christmas, Jesus wasn't born in the wintertime. Anybody that knows their Bible knows there was no snow on the ground. And the star that they was following wouldn't even be out that part of the season. But nobody really does any homework on that. They'd rather just say, yeah, we're going to get together for Christmas time at the end of the year, December 25th. People don't do their homework, but it's just more or less, I don't know, it's a scary, scary, scary thing. I seen Paul Mooney on the Monique show, if y'all care to YouTube that also. And he was talking about the actors and actresses in Hollywood and the rappers in Hollywood and their hand signs and the stuff that they throw up. And the funny thing is, like, I could tell somebody about it, but I won't, in my own subconscious, I won't throw the sign up. I won't do the Baphomet sign or the, you know, I won't do
Baphomet,
it.
Baphomet, stop. What's Baphomet? What is that?
That'll be a whole nother subject.
Okay, we can't talk about it, but can you just elaborate on that word?
The Baphomet is the the goat, it's in devil worship, and it's the representation of Satan himself, the Baphomet.
Okay. Okay.
And
what is it?
It's the goat slash man slash woman. It's a whole bunch of stuff. It's all based on that as below, so above, as below type deal. They're saying that heaven is on earth, and heaven, as we all know, is not on earth. Matter of fact, I think hell is on earth rather than heaven. Just ask the fish in the Gulf where the oil spill just happened. You know, hell is on earth. These people, Paul Mooney was throwing up the sign, and Monique did it like four or five times. She was like, oh, it doesn't mean that? It doesn't mean that? I thought it meant rock on. And she's holding her hands up with the sign the whole time and laughing. They're being condescending about the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to play like he's trying to help us out. But really, he compromised his integrity to even get to the level that he's on.
Okay.
So, I mean,
so are you trying to tell me that they're most majority of the actors and the rappers and the artists and this whole industry is in this big conspiracy type thing?
I would call it a conspiracy if it weren't, if it didn't have so many factual evidence to it. Like, they try to wean you away from God. That's what they really want. They want you to forget about God at all costs. Forget about God. Now, like Will Smith, everybody looks up to him, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know, he's filthy rich, has a beautiful wife and a beautiful family. Does he ever come out talking about God? No, he talks about Scientology.
Okay.
You know, that's what they into, the Scientology. People forget about God, and that's a problem. Same thing with Tom Cruise. Once you get to a level of certain income, you know, that's it. They're going to come after you. They will come after you. That's why I'm happy to be underground, making my own music, you know, from my heart. I don't have to be major because I know what comes with that. I don't even feel like having that discussion with some people. That's why they killed Tupac, because he was about to expose him. Man, y'all should really, like, look into it. It's not just, I'm not just saying, you know, conspiracy theories. I'm not Illuminati and all that. I was using that as an example, but by all means, explore that. You know, don't restrict yourself to just saying that what I'm saying is not true. Explore it. See if there's any truth to what I'm saying. You'll find out some very interesting things on
now,
your way to the truth.
Okay. Where can we find this information?
I have a good friend on Facebook. His name is Bill from theindustryexposed.com, and he has an ongoing series of videos. I sat there and watched them. I think I started at like 48. It was when he was on show 48 by the time I actually discovered that he was even in existence. So I watched every video that he had made all the way up to 48, and now he's on 62. And I mean, it's theindustryexposed.com. I advise y'all to go check that out. It's really good information. You'd be surprised what your favorite rapper is really into.
Now, Mr. Swofford, is there anything else you want to let us know about? I'm sorry, you guys, tonight I didn't tell you guys to call in. I didn't give you the call number. I apologize. I'm just not I'm not putting my head together today. But I will do that next time we talk. Next time we talk, we're probably going to be in South Carolina. So hopefully it'll be a good conversation then. I'll have a good conversation then. I have upcoming people that want to be interviewed on my show. I'm just trying to get the questions out and getting them prepared for the interviews. So we got some more guests coming up. I'm sorry, Mr. Swofford, I didn't continue saying. Is there anything else you want us to know about you, know about your website, what else your endeavors are, what are you into right now?
I really didn't want to come on for, like, self-promotion. I think there's a message that needs to be heard.
Okay.
And I think people should really start waking up. So I have a number of endeavors. If people are really sincere about getting in touch with me, I've given out the website and everything, but this was more about letting people know that, you know, to guard your ears, your heart, and your soul, because they're after you. They're after you.
Now, what's the name of that website?
Which one?
The one, the exposed one? What is that called?
It's called The Industry, TheIndustry, Exposed. That's EXPOSED.com. And all the videos are numbered from one, starting to the very first video, all the way up to the most current video. They're all very informative. You can just look at the images and kind of deduce for yourself what you're being exposed to in these songs. And, you know, I advise everybody to go check that out, you know, so you don't be led into it.
Okay.
And I want to miss you. Many blessings upon all your listeners. That to have this going, you've been going at this for a while now, and this is my second time showing up with you. So to keep this going, you must have a pretty loyal fan base, really good people. I admire that.
Well, thank you very much. I do have people who, if they can't listen to me right then and there on air, they do go back and listen to my show. So, I mean, And I've gotten comments on it. I always look for comments. I encourage everyone to comment. If you don't like it, let me know. Give me some subjects that you want. That's why this year I said my subject is I will surprise you. We'll talk about anything anybody wants to talk about. You know, last week we talked about rape. We talked about nonprofit organization. I want to be able to be open to anything. I don't want to stick to one subject and talk about it. That's the reason why I brought Mr. Ten back to discuss hip-hop and his view on hip-hop, which we're going to continue this conversation because I'm going to go to theindustryexposed.com and check it out, and then we will be talking about this again, and I will be pushing to find out what is this all really all about, because I think it would be very informative when it comes to the music industry.
I think it's beneficial information. It's more beneficial than the songs that they make.
Yeah.
I think that people should really, really start guarding your ears.
Yeah. Yep.
Start guarding your eyes because they have a lot of symbology wrapped up in it too. But I think that's our cue to get out of here.
Okay. This is Chocolate Lady 64, and I want to thank my guest, Mr. Ten Swofford, for stopping in. And if you want to get a chance to talk to either one of us, you can catch Mr. Ten at?
You can Facebook me and just search Ten, T-E-N, space, S-W-A-F-F-O-R-D. Facebook me. I'm not hard to find.
You can also Facebook me at Salita McCall. I'll let you get me on there, too, also. So I want to tell everyone good night and have a blessed day, evening that is, and happy Memorial Day, and I see you guys next week. This is Chocolate Lady 64 sounding off. Bye-bye.